Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Let's do this. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Power of Reinvention. I am really, genuinely, personally, very excited about my guest today, Lori Rivers. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
I am so excited for us to be having this conversation and sharing you today with my audience. Where do I even begin with this? This sort of touches so many wonderful parts of my life, our business life, the universe we are connected to. And Lori came into my world and I just had an automatic connection to her and was blessed to actually have a session with her a couple of weeks ago. And for those who don't know who Lori Rivers is, you're about to find out. So let me give a little background on her and then we are going to delve into a really, really interesting conversation. So buckle up, folks. You're going to love this one. Lori is a self-taught entrepreneur who's been online since the beginning of the internet. She combined her love for metaphysics, technology, and communications into a purpose-driven business that helps people manifest meaningful and aligned careers and lives. As an observational applied astrologer, Lori has spent the past three decades crafting patriarchy-free astrology definitions and interpretations. During COVID lockdown, she created the Woke Astrology website as a resource in a sea of misinformation, reassuring people that they can still find meaning during times of unrest. Her following has grown to nearly 150,000 people who are all dedicated to being self-aware, self-actualizing, and switched on. And there is so much more to unearth here with you, Lori, in terms of who you are, what you do, and how you are impacting so many people around this planet with your gifts, your knowledge, your insights, your wisdom, and this incredible astrological skill set in helping us understand who we are and how we're connected to this world. And as I said at the very beginning here, I was blessed to have a session with Lori several weeks ago. And I cannot even begin to tell you how that has just kind of everything starting to manifest before my very eyes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just need that reminder of mm-hmm. who we are and how to trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go deep on this conversation today, and I'm really excited. A lot of you know that I just, given my upbringing, who my mother was in my life and in the world, her connection as a very spiritual human, I grew up with a lot of woo-woo in my life, as I mm-hmm. like to say, mm-hmm. and I feel like the universe and the rest of us here in society is sort of catching up with that. So although we tend to tackle very serious business conversations mm-hmm. and reinvention conversations on this show all the time, mm-hmm. wow, this one's going to be a really fun and interesting one. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Lori. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Kathy.
Absolutely. So where I love to start in this conversation is, who was little Lori? What were you all about as a little girl, and what did you dream about doing, and where did you think your life was going to take you?
I was a really, oddly enough, strange child.
Shocked.
I started, I started reading at about 2 years old. And my dad was a firefighter, and my mom was a stay-at-home mother. And I remember the day I learned to read. And it was really guidance-based, and I know that sounds crazy. Like, it's finally in the 21st century we can kind of talk about these things.
Yes, exactly.
Without worrying about the, ooh, Anyway, my mother was very overwhelmed with this smart kiddo, and she took me to the Oregon City Library. I grew up near Oregon City, Oregon. And she took me down to the children's library and said, I don't know what to do with her. And I don't want to hold her back. And the lady said, you've come to the right place. And I devoured everything in a Carnegie library by the time I was 14. Wow. And by 9 years old, I had discovered Norman Vincent Peale, Rudolf Steiner, theosophy. And I didn't think of it as metaphysics. It was information in a book, just like any other information in a book. And because no one could tell me it was right or wrong. And my mother didn't understand my rattling on. You know, she's very smart, but she mostly went, that's my sonny.
Right.
You know, like, did you know?
Right. She's like, okay, dear.
Right. And so I was always very interested in what some people would call the occult, which means the hidden. It doesn't mean bad or, you know, it just means the secrets, things that are hidden. I found, I think a lot of your audience might know of Napoleon Hill.
Absolutely.
That's metaphysical.
Yeah.
Okay. That is pure metaphysics. And I found him as a young person. And so growing up in a very small town near Oregon City, Oregon, I did not fit in, and I worked very hard to get out. And I wanted to, I was actually really more open to making the world a better place, and to promote and facilitate communication that was productive versus harmful. And I'm not talking about kumbaya and everybody getting along and let's all have a Coke. That's not it. I just found through researching in history that the times we did best in life were when there was less conflict, and economically things are better. It's actually a fallacy to say that things are better during times of conflict economically. There's only one time in history that was actually true. So I ended up becoming a political scientist, which is every bit as metaphysical as an astrologer. And astrologers were the original political scientists.
Right.
And, by the time I went to university in England and then went and lived in the Middle East, I worked in West Africa. I worked for shipping companies analyzing if they should invest directly into a region or if they should just do a franchise to limit risk. So that's what I did as a young woman. And then life started falling apart for this overachiever. And for those of you who do know astrology, it was a Pluto transit. And at 25, nothing was working.
Right. And what do you mean by nothing was working? Was
that... My marriage was falling apart. I had built a business with some friends, and somebody I really trusted embezzled a great deal of money.
Okay.
They were not a citizen of that country. They had grown up there, and I had them removed from the country. I was married into a very wealthy and powerful family there, but he did a great deal of harm to the staff.
Yeah.
And so I had to do a lot of damage control. My name was attached, and that name was worth more than money.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things worth more than money. Money's the easy part. And I know people don't like to hear that, but it really is.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't understand why if I just focused, life worked.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I got flung, and but astrology fell into me, and I ended up studying it to prove it wrong.
Yeah.
So, and fool me, haha.
And did you know, did you realize, like, as all of this was kind of bubbling into your life, that this was a way that you would move forward? Like, were you very consciously aware or deliberate about, how am I going to make this the thing that I do?
I did not when I first started. Again, I studied astrology to prove it wrong.
Right.
I wanted to know how that person in Australia, who's my first teacher, William Mason, he's not a famous astrologer at all. He just took pity on a cranky 25-year-old. Right. I wanted to know how he knew so much about me. There were no internet footprints.
Right.
And so I started digging in, and he would teach me. He'd send me 20-page emails that I would print out on a dot matrix printer. There were no books on astrology in English in Bahrain at that time, and it was somewhat illegal to study it at the time. So I busted through a firewall to find, you know, resources. It wasn't that hard in 1995. You asked better questions in the search bar.
Right.
But no, I started to know once it started clicking, because in university, I had been forced to take a quantum mechanics theory class at 19, and it was not common discussion.
Right.
And that changed my mindset. So I was much more open to the woo at that time, because I went from being a woo-woo kid to very rational, logical. It was the late 80s. I was going to, you know, be a diplomat or, you know, C-level executive. And that was my path. And that was all there is. And then everything spun out. And eventually in 98, I had to, and that's a story in itself and probably not for this podcast. I ended up in Dubai, because my then husband had been transferred from his bank in Bahrain to Dubai. He was a trader, and I had to leave with my children because he had substance abuse issues.
I'm sorry.
I was undocumented. He had not done my paperwork, and I got out on a wing and a prayer. And it's a very woo-woo. That one's a very woo-woo story. That's it's Doctor Who-ish weird.
Wow.
And I ended up coming back to America, and I hadn't lived here since 1987. So,
I mean, it's amazing when we have these moments and we're in them and we don't realize where or how they're ever going to serve us, and the panic and the fear. And, you know, we talk about reinvention moments. Some are handed to us. Some are forced upon us. Some are by choice, some are by desire. And, you know, there are all these aha moments where we're forced to look at our lives and where we're at and make hard choices or safe choices or necessary choices. Some feel like they're not choices.
No.
And it sounds like, you were thrown into that. What do you think helped you find the strength to be you, to get to the next place in your life in a moment like that?
I don't know that it was strength. I was pretty worn out at that point. It was the love of my children. I don't think there was a lot of me in that moment, if I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I've always had this weird faith, you know, and versus religion, but I've always felt the connection. The really cool part of that story is I had talked to my uncle, who was a pastor, and he prayed, and I didn't feel better. And after I got off the phone, and nothing was going right that week either, and I really threw my arms out and just said, I can't do this alone. And my phone rang at 10 o'clock at night, and somebody wanted to buy everything from, I put a moving sign up because I had no money. I got back to America with $50 and two kids. And no one believed that this young woman had been to 23 countries and four continents without being in the military and, you know, had done all the things she had done.
Right.
Because in Portland, Oregon, because I went home, you know, tail between my legs. And so how did I, I just put one foot in front of the other.
And I think to your point with kids, you know, it's all about preservation and creating the best possible security and safety for them. And I'll worry about me later. And it sounds like you did. Do you feel like at that point, or when, if not then, you started to think about, you know, okay, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to focus on? How am I going to support my kids? How, you know, was this where...
It was huge. I had, because again, I got no support. I had no money. And I was having a hard time getting a job. And my astrology teacher, William, because I was 3 years in at that point, and I had dedicated 8 hours a day, like even at work, you know, in Bahrain.
Yeah.
I had a great job. I was in charge of logistics. So, you know, I'd read astrology books on the side that I'd smuggled in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, dude, I can't find a job. You know? Right. And he was like, put your shingle out. I'm like, I don't know anything about running a business. I'm not good at accounting. I'm a strategist. What are you talking right. about? Yeah, you're really good. You're a good astrologer. Do it. And I did what a lot of people do. I was comparing myself to the people who wrote the books. I was comparing myself to the people who taught the classes. And I was good, but I was not there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, I'm not going to serve people. I have very strong ethics.
Right.
And they were almost too strong when I was young. Like they cut my nose off despite my face a lot. And, but I didn't really have a choice. So back in that day, we put an ad in the classifieds. And this is why the website is called Woke Astrology. It's a natural filter for who I want coming in.
That's great.
Because classified ads got us some very strange clients.
Yes.
And so, yeah, but that's how I got rolling. And it was just, and I'm not the only one. A lot of the well-known astrologers ended up doing that, like a wife got pregnant or they had to find a job because of that. A lot of the professional astrologers I know that are comparable in skill, it pulled us.
Right.
We didn't go, oh yeah, I'm going to be an astrologer and in my 50s do TikToks for teenagers educating people on metaphysics. That was not what
that was not the plan.
Little Lori thought she would be doing.
Right. But, let's talk about that for a moment. Because, you know, look, people don't necessarily understand what astrology mm-hmm. is. What, mm-hmm. you know, I've had multiple readings in the last 50 years of my life, probably on mm-hmm. the average of 1 to 2 times a year, mm-hmm. With guides and spirits and all kinds of wonderful mm-hmm. humans that have come into my life or spirits mm-hmm. that I've been connected to in some way. Mm-hmm. What you and I did, and I've had my charts read in the past, and because of my mom and all of her friends, you know, I had sort of a little bit of insight here and there. I don't profess to know much about it, but I love having readings. Mm-hmm. For those that are looking at understanding the why do I want a reading? Why do mm-hmm. I want to better understand my connection to the universe? The mm-hmm. how do you do it? The mm-hmm. when do I do it? The mm-hmm. how serious do I take it? Mm-hmm. You know, am I crazy? If I have an astrological reading, what does it all mean? Are there things mm-hmm. that I can do to continue to understand and appreciate when someone says, you know, we all hear Mercury's in retrograde and everybody goes, oh, whoa, okay. And right. nobody really knows what that means, but they know, really like, don't make decisions that week. And, you know, mm-hmm. all that kind of, you know, the topical mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
So let's talk a bit practicality mm-hmm. in terms of helping people understand a bit of mm-hmm. those questions mm-hmm. Because you are so profound in your work that you're doing and the impact you are having on people. Mm-hmm. So let's help some of the audience understand a little bit better for those who, you know, aren't used to tuning into this conversation this reason. Hopefully we're going to open up a few more people's minds to what's possible and how to really connect.
Well, I think we live in a very exciting time where hard science and the unseen are meeting again. Okay, because up until the 18th century, science and the arts, science and philosophy, science and theology were married. And then in the Age of Reason, they split apart. And I think we're coming back into a time where, you know, when you can hear people like Neil deGrasse Tyson, that's great, right?
Yeah.
Tyson deGrasse, there we go. I get his name wrong every time. I want to debate him so bad. But anyway, he'll talk about us living in a simulation. You know, they're talking about consciousness unfolding in different ways. Those discussions did not happen 30 years ago. That you would have been laughed at as a scientist if you posited these things, different dimensions and multidimensionality. I deal with this dimension. I deal with the physicality of being a human being on planet Earth. Astrology is like data science. It's nice to have these references. We couldn't describe it this way again 30 years ago. Not really. It has thousands of years of observation and correlation behind it. Not all the definitions were accurate 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. And they were ways of describing the world. But enough was when we look at what original astrology was, which was, is there going to be a war? Will there be a famine? Is there going to be a natural event? That's called mundane astrology. Will the emperor be deposed? Which was really bad news for an astrologer because that's who we worked for. That's why eclipses are considered malefic. Not because the eclipse is bad. It's because there's usually a natural event and bad news that an astrologer would have to tell their boss, which was usually a king, a general, a merchant prince. And they didn't like bad news. And we'd get... So that's why they're considered bad. Most people don't... I'm a geek for history. So understanding that is important. On natal astrology, which is, we did your timing, so we did mundane for you, and I looked at your personality to work with the opportunities that you have, right? You have your own gifts and talents, you have your weaknesses, and we work with that instead of doing what society has programmed us to do, which is, you know, go to the needs improvement box, right? And focus on what you're not good at. I believe in playing to your strengths. I see that. I see all of who you are in the chart. Not everybody, not, you know, that's experience. This is 30 years of daily practice, right? You know, so just like I can't, you know, kick a football like Pele, right? So it's practice and skill. In an astrological reading, if you're with a competent professional, you can look at anything from your marketing strategies. It depends on the astrologer's background. I pair it with business, career. I work with college kids. I work with stay-at-home moms trying to make a side hustle. I work with CEOs. I mean, sometimes people are looking to, you know, look at their exit strategies. How do they go out? How do they talk to the board? Who do they, you know, who are their allies? You know, we get a little medieval with it sometimes. But we haven't changed that much as people. I look at when revenue is up and down and how you can make the most of a chaotic situation like we are in today. And then sometimes people just want to know when they want to start a family and when is the better timing. I had one of those last night, and it's an honor and a privilege to walk through life with people. And how serious should you take it?
That was my next question. Thank you. Yeah. You know, how seriously should when you share insights and you're reading the charts and you're interpreting things that are already out there is my understanding. How seriously should you take it?
I think it depends on who's reading for you. And so my goal at the beginning of every reading, especially if somebody hasn't worked with me before, is to prove my accuracy. So I try to come out of the gate doing what I taught my apprentices, the razzle dazzle, but proving and telling you something that you may not have told anybody else or something that wouldn't be something I could Google.
Right.
And so that builds trust. But I will give people percentages. And I also use qualifying language, as you know. You know, I didn't say this is a sure ringer, bet your farm. So I would always use your own judgment and discernment, even if you're working with a coach or if you're working with doctors. You know, get a second opinion. And then, like I said, I leave a lot of evidence and if you listen to the recordings, you can play it back. And go, oh yeah, that happened. That happened. I get a lot of love letters from clients.
Yeah. So, well, look, our conversation today started with a verbal love letter because, you know, we talked about things in my session with you 3 weeks ago, and I said to you, I listened to it, you know, 2, 3, 4 times already, and I do that often because every time we listen, we hear something different. We hear something new. Something resonates with us further. We're making sense of what that might have meant and the interpretation of, I thought it was about this, but actually now something else has come up in my life and now I get what that was. And I gave you 2 very real examples of things you pointed to in our session that have occurred in the last week that, you know, to say it kind of, I wouldn't say blew my mind because I'm a little beyond things blowing my mind,
right.
but I was so excited mm-hmm. to know mm-hmm. that what I want to trust in what you mm-hmm. shared with me. And it's not because you said it, it's because
right.
you're reading what
you.
The universe mm-hmm. is seeing for me or what
Absolutely.
Is happening. I just don't really
mm-hmm.
know it yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it gives us a certain validation. It helps give us
mm-hmm.
a little direction, a little mm-hmm. clarity. And you know what? They would have happened anyway.
Yes.
But what happened was you helped me kind of pull my negative guard down and
mm-hmm.
the negativity and the fear or the challenge or the struggle or the questioning that so many of
mm-hmm.
us are doing, which is sometimes when we are most inclined to put our hand up and say, I'd like a reading.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on in my life
mm-hmm.
or I'm
mm-hmm.
uncertain about
mm-hmm.
a decision I'm about
mm-hmm.
to make. I'd love a little input. And for those
mm-hmm.
of us who know,
mm-hmm.
we know. That's typically when we kind of raise our hand and make the phone call and say, hey, can I have a reading? I want to know where to go, where to pivot.
Right.
We don't always trust in ourselves. And what I have
right.
heard over and over again, and what you made a point of, you know, reemphasizing was we have to learn how to trust ourselves more, but also to kind of let it go when those moments happen. And we're in that place of fear because then all we're doing is feeding into the fear or feeding into the challenge of the unknown, rather than just kind of allowing the gifts of what could happen to really happen. So I may be putting this in completely inappropriate language,
no,
but it's a language
I
understand.
I think it's beautifully succinct. I always say an astrologer should never surprise you in a reading other than they can see what they can see.
Right.
And we may tell you, we probably won't tell you anything you don't already know.
Uh-huh.
But we'll tell you something that maybe only you've talked to your therapist or your spouse or somebody very close to you about. I sometimes surprise people because I'll see when they need to change their appliances or fix their roof. Or,
right.
You know, I've saved people a lot of money with that.
Right.
I have a gift for plumbing. I don't know why. But
right.
I mean, like, check your plumbing.
Right. That's funny.
It's interesting because it's a language and I'm interpreting the language.
Yes.
So it's not... Astrology itself is a framework. Yes, I'm a magical creature, but it's a lot of study. Astrology of all the metaphysical topics is kind of the geek
yeah.
level where it's an intellectual, it's a mental plane
yeah.
exercise. It is you, you know, and your connection. And I always say in a reading, especially with younger clients or people who are just coming out of struggle, I'm like, look, you have to take action on this thing. You can't just sit and wait for things to come to you, but you need to take aligned action. So here's what happens. If you just sit on your couch, when you go take care of your laundry, you'll find $5 in your jeans pocket. And who doesn't love that?
Right.
Like, oh yeah, I forgot about that $5 or $20 bill. Great.
Right.
If you take action, you get a job that moves you forward and you're going to be in a much better place a year from now.
Yeah.
It's all good luck.
Yeah.
So that's why I say applied, you know,
right.
I'm observing and I give you the application so that, yeah, it can be a really good day, but what if it could be a better, really good day?
Exactly. And it kind of opens your mind to think of what's going on around you in ways that you may not. It's the tools to kind of think differently or reframe your thinking about something. What about those who are a little more negative about it, who don't get it? I mean, I often say to people, oh, you know, when you have a reading, you know, do you just sit back? And I go, no, I give them all the information I possibly can because that just makes it a better, richer reading. I'm not there to
mm-hmm.
prove to me how psychic you are. Prove to me how much you know. Like that, like why? We're here
well,
for a reason.
Yeah.
I want answers. I want direction. I want insights. I come from that school and I so often say that to someone, like, show up, be open. Don't sit there with
right.
your arms crossed going, prove to me how psychic you are. Like, that doesn't work.
Well, yeah. And see, as an astrologer, you don't have to be knowingly intuitive or psychic
right.
to be a good astrologer. Again, it's akin to data science.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you want somebody who's a polymath or multi-talented, multi-skilled and has they're not just a one-note Johnny.
Right.
And I happen to be intuitive. Yes.
Right.
You know, I happen to be, but my astrology teacher was, he's a computer analyst and was a software architect and a math guy, because astrology is a lot of math. And I would, in the beginning, intuit the charts and be like, right. Well, I feel like this person's like this. This is, you know, 95. And he was like, that's great, psychic girl. Now give me the math.
Interesting.
So I had a very good teacher who made me do the other. So if people are, first of all, I'm never here to evangelize astrology. People either want to come to me or they
don't.
There was a time until very recently, until the last 4 years, I did not publicly discuss what I do because I also was a business coach and I was not going to lose credibility.
Yes.
The clients that were open to it, that was great. I'm like, great, we just saved 6 months. Let's go build something.
Exactly. Which is a whole, like, you know, I kind of want to chat about that in a moment as well, because I think there is a really important connection in that, but go ahead.
Yeah. So for the people who are trying to prove it, you know, get me to prove it, it's very rare. It's often when somebody has had a reading purchased for them. I have a lot of my proof out there. I have a podcast. I do a lot of political and mundane predictions on weather, the economy, earthquakes. And so I have enough proof out there. I don't get that a lot in readings. When I do, I let people know I'm a consulting astrologer. And I say, so you got to let me know what you want out of this reading, because I can see everything. Do you want me to talk about things you don't want me to talk about? Because I can see it.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll usually open people up. If it's a husband, though, I tend to be a little gentle because I want the eyes get like this.
Ah, right.
Because I'll pick something really small, like, as a little kid, did you like this? It'd be like a flavor of ice cream or something very specific.
Right.
That's fun. That's me messing with somebody. But
so in the business community, I mean, it's really, you know, you speak about your coaching and, you know, there is a beauty in, and you sort of said before, you know, there's a bit of therapy, there's a bit of coaching in all of this, which is an extraordinary time when people are leaning into the desire and the need to get that guidance. And I think more and more people today, I could speak, you know, to probably 20% of the C-suite executives that I do business with every day who have executive coaches in their lives that are turning to sort of leveling up their lives in ways that they never have before and using the tools and the guidance and a lot more. And people are really more open to it. So where in the business and corporate community do you find that, and to your point, the science and the data of it all, and if we're not living in a data world today, I don't know what it is, but, you know, quantum physics, big part of it. You know, we have an amazing CMO from MasterCard who's actually been a guest on this show before, who wrote a book about the quantum physics of marketing. You know, all of this is becoming so synergistic now. I love the cross-section of this whole space. Talk a bit about where and how you're really mastering and playing in that space and the work you're doing with companies and people.
Yeah, so it's been for about the last 15 years. I started business coaching because I was forced to start a business. I was very good at working for other people and just doing analysis. I'm an introvert. And so having a little cubby to myself where I didn't have to interact with a lot of people was great. And just life went in the direction where this is what I needed to do. And I always charged for readings, but I was referral only because in the beginning of this interview, remember I said I put a classified ad in.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have an office, so I had to meet people in public. And I was a very cute 30-year-old lady, and I got some really weird situations that I managed. I went to phone only, and you had to know the secret knock until 2020. I was referral only for astrology and did fine with it. But I didn't see it as a business. It was just, you know, it's an exchange because I worked really hard to be good at it, you know. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not going to do that one. So with the business coaching, I got into that because I learned the hard way. I am self-taught. I learned how to build my websites thinking, well, maybe someday I'll build websites when my kids grow up for other people. Nope, I don't like working with other people that way. I will never build a website for anybody else but myself.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I went on this journey, and it was like 10 years of learning, and I always grew. And so I started learning, because people say, oh, it's really hard. And I'd be like, well, some of this is hard. You know, the technical stuff was mind-blowing, and my brain would hurt. But once I was clear about something and I knew what worked, I would double down on it. And I had a 5x growth model year on year. And yeah, I started with nothing. So it's easy to 5x that. But it kept 5x for quite a long time. And I was concerned in the mid-2000s because a lot of people were having trouble. I was not good at charging just yet. And I still remember my 5x was still really eeny, weeny, teeny. Because I started with $30. I'm not kidding. That was where we were at. Because I wasn't a business person. You know, yeah. I was very good at what I was very good at, but not a business person. You know,
right.
I love business now. I'm like, it's a game.
Right.
This is great. But when I, you know, that's then. But I was worried because I had a very successful online community called the Crochet Liberation Front. It was a joke.
Yeah.
That went the equivalency of viral. I reached 250,000 people a week. Couldn't understand why people listened to me.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were having trouble buying shoes for the kids. A lot of people were having trouble. And these were educated people. These were people with master's degrees. The economy tanked. People lost jobs. They were in the middle of raising kids. And it was like watching the yarn industry kind of exploit people who were staying at home by saying, oh, we'll give you free yarn if you write a pattern, which is how they market their yarn.
Interesting.
And it was like, I'm going to teach you how to make money on this so you can buy shoes for your kids.
Wow.
And that's how, that was my original business coaching, was actually helping stay-at-home moms buy extra groceries when the economy tanked. And
fascinating.
Yeah. And then that it's harder to bring people up who are used to struggle. And I was like, there's got to be an easier thing I can do, because I wasn't helping me as much. And
yeah.
And so I started working with real estate agents and other service providers, because I do CPG, but it's not my favorite. So more service providing and information products and how to develop that. And that's where I built. And then it all started coming together, because it was nice. I didn't have to do this side of me and this side of me and this side of me. And I don't know if you've heard of Sally Hogshead.
No.
She's a Hall of Fame speaker, and she wrote the book, How the World Sees You.
Uh-huh.
She's a remarkable woman. When her book came out, that helped me. And I helped beta test some of her projects, but her work made sense astrologically, even though she doesn't do astrology. And that's when I was really able, in like 2015, sew myself together as somebody who's multifaceted.
Right.
Because it's very hard to talk about yourself if you do a lot of different things and they seem incongruous.
Right, right. Well, it's amazing. I mean, it feels like, you know, I'm curious, actually, who does your readings? Do you do your own readings?
I do look at my astrology. I go, I actually have my apprentices look at my charts.
You do, and help interpret things that maybe...
I like to hear their perspective.
Yeah,
I'll have my students read my charts, but I have some people that I go to. They're not necessarily people that put themselves out there, but they're very good, and
right.
They're not necessarily they don't always have a good bedside manner,
right?
So,
but they're good. They know what they're doing.
They know what they're
doing. They're good for you. That's pretty cool.
They are. But I actually have a really dear friend named she goes by the real medium Matilda. That's not her real name, and there's good reason for it. It's her stage name. But anyway, she's an amazing psychic in Australia, and we partner up on things, but we read for each other.
Yeah.
You know, we're colleagues.
I think, look, the teacher always needs the teacher. the therapist mm-hmm. always mm-hmm. has a therapist. I think that, yeah. mm-hmm. and there's such a beauty and wonder in what you do for others that why wouldn't mm-hmm. you want, it's like the hair colorist, like who's doing that guy, that girl or guy's hair, right. you know, like you always kind of wonder like who takes care of them. Mm-hmm. My mom was mm-hmm. a healer and a masseuse and a shaman yeah. and all these wonderful things. Yeah. I was like, well, she's taking care of all of us. Who's taking care of her? And, right. you know, I think that also helps reinvigorate your love and passion for what you're doing, because you yes. also get to personally have your experience with it. Mm-hmm. And it feels like you are very much at the moment in your life living that true north of yours in a way that's really, really unique. Nice. And I'm just so privileged to be able to know you and to be able to share you with so many people that I hope have a chance to explore your amazing gifts and what it is that you're doing. And it's probably going to lead to a lot of questions from a lot of people. So I'm really looking okay. forward to that input and that feedback.
Like, why did you have that crazy lady on your show?
Oh my God, no, it's the best. I want more of this. It's so fun. You know, I always say that I've got this incredible blend of both of my parents. My dad was this amazing entrepreneurial global businessman that I grew up with, and my mother was always very spiritual and also an incredible businesswoman in her own right. And I feel like I'm always that blend, and when people find out that side of me is I'm running around looking all cool and chic mm-hmm. in my blazers and my high heels and, you know, running mm-hmm. around the world doing business, and they're like, what, you're psychic? I'm like, heck yeah. You know, yeah. I think we're living in a world where the norm is, you know, really being connected with the universe and really absolutely. In touch with who we are and what's possible. And I think that's beautiful. I mean, my mm-hmm. reinvention conversations, the book, the interviews, the stories, mm-hmm. the advisory work that I do with people is to help people move to a place where they are living their best lives yes. and being open to what's possible yeah. and connecting mm-hmm. better. You know, there's a chapter going, hello, are you still in there? Like sit, relax, yeah. pause, yeah. reconnect yeah. with yourself, yeah. question what is working, what isn't working, mm-hmm. you know, lean in, be open. And, you know, sadly or not, the pandemic forced everybody to actually do that. So the irony of my book coming out the week before the pandemic made everybody sit still, better. You know, mm-hmm. thank you, universe. I, you know, who knew that that was the divine plan? Right. So, you know, we never know.
And no, we don't. And never, ever give up. And we all have dark nights of the soul. We all have times where we question who we are. Yeah. Every single person does, you know. And I always say astrologers are not immune to transits. And that's a very astrological statement. But we have bumpy times.
Yeah.
And if we don't work with one another, and I don't care if it's coaching or going to a psychic or getting a hot stone massage or a cold stone massage or taking a spa day or just having a friend to have a cup of coffee with.
Yeah.
All of those are very healing and purposeful things. We have to, as we move through this next era, because we're going to have another bumpy ride in 2025. There's more yeah. stuff coming. And it's really going to force us to work together in different ways. And again, I'm not saying kumbaya, and we're not going to have unity yeah. consciousness and everybody in, you know, peace, love, and harmony. Humans don't do that, but right. we can be a little kinder
yeah.
and gentler with ourselves and as an extension to other people. Yeah. And I think Mr. Rogers taught us all very well, and maybe we should remember what he taught us.
So. I love that. I love that. Lori, thank you so much for being on this show today and sharing you with all of us, with my guests, my audience. I really just look forward to so many ongoing conversations and linking yes. you more into my world and community in different ways. And
thank you.
I know there'll be a lot more of our dialogue together. For those who are listening, I will make sure that how to reach Lori, her website, and how to connect with her is in the show notes. So if you're driving or walking and not looking at your phone while you're listening, just know that it's there. And I'm so appreciative of today's conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day and happy reinventing, everybody. If you are looking for more inspired conversations, please go to thereinventionexchange.com for lots of shows that we've done over the years, blogs, access to the book, and really incredibly inspired humans that we have curated and connected on the platform. So have a wonderful day, and thank you, Lori.
Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend, and thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.